Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program brought to you by Living Stream Ministry. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. This life study is the basis of our program today, which includes short portions of the spoken messages given by Witness Lee. Now, let's join today's life study.
When the Lord Jesus gave his life on the cross for our redemption, what were the main items that the Bible tells us were dealt with by his death? Well, the first answer most people would give, of course, is our sins. Then some might mention the devil, Satan. Fewer still would add the corrupted world and our old fallen nature that the Bible calls our old man. This would be a good list and an accurate one according to the New Testament, but still incomplete. For it is probably fair to say that precious few would include on the list the last item that the Apostle Paul gives us in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 15. Listen carefully. Abolishing in his flesh the law of the commandments in ordinances, that he might create the two in himself into one new man, so making peace. Isn't this interesting? And isn't it surprising? Included among the crucial items dealt with by Christ on the cross are ordinances. How could ordinances be included with such obvious matters as sin, Satan, and the world? Well, we'll find out on today's life study. Joining us for this fellowship, Ed Marks. Ed, welcome back to the program.
Well, Chris, it's good to be back. And like you said, it is a great revelation to see intrinsically what the Lord did on the cross. And like you said, he dealt with all the negative things in the universe on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
He destroyed Satan. He took away the sin of the world. He crucified our old man. He dealt with the flesh on the cross, every negative thing. But one of the negative things that he dealt with is the law of the commandments in ordinances. And why did he do that? Well, ordinances are forms or ways of living and worship. And since the time of Babel, when man rebelled against God and God came in to judge man and man was divided because of the difference in languages, there are many forms or ways of living and worship in the human race that divide fallen mankind. Well, on the cross, Christ crucified all of these ordinances so that he could create the Jews and the Gentiles into one new man. So it's really something, Chris. In Ephesians 2:15, it says, in his flesh, he abolished all these different ways of living and worship. But in himself, in Christ himself, as the sphere, as the element, and as the essence, he created the Jews and the Gentiles into one new man.
Ed, Witness Lee's portion today is going to begin by him saying this is the most crucial item in the New Testament, yet the most overlooked, misunderstood. I mean, how many people just think the new man has something to do with a kind of new behavior or a new, improved behavior? That concept is going to be abolished today, isn't it, Ed, and replaced with, I think, a very uplifted view of what the Bible really showcases as one of the key central points.
Exactly, Chris. And tragically, some translations even translate this, the new man, as the new self,
right,
which is not according to the Greek. The Greek word is man. We'll see later, Genesis 1:26, God's intention is to have a corporate man expressing him in his image and representing him with his dominion so that God, through this corporate man, can rule over the entire universe. And this corporate man is the church as the new man.
Wonderful. Well, let's join Witness Lee.
I do have a very, very heavy burden tonight because here in this message, we are touching the most crucial thing in the New Testament, one new man. And sorry to say this crucial thing has been nearly altogether missed. Concerning the new man, we haven't seen that much yet. It's still something new to us. And this is just a new field discovered in the recent years. We need to see more. Here are two things most of the teachers don't see. Number one, Christ on the cross not only dealt with our sins, our old man, our flesh, not only dealt with Satan and the world. I do believe among the Christians, these four items, sins, our old man, Satan, and the world, have been very much touched in Christian teachings. But the strange thing is, for so many years, I never got to read a book on this one thing, that Christ on the cross not only crucified our sins, our old man, Satan, the devil, and the world, but also the ordinance. There is this fifth category dealt with by the cross. But no Christian today talk about this. No. Why? Because Christians just don't have this kind of a concept. But I tell you, the most damaging thing, the most bothering thing is the last category. What is this? Ordinances. Ordinances. Christ on the cross, he has abolished the ordinances, the peculiar ways we live, the peculiar ways we worship. All the ordinances Christ abolished on his cross. For what? For what? I tell you, to create a new man. We have never been told that Christ on the cross was also to create the one new man. And this is why tonight I do have a heavy burden.
Yeah, this is really startling. I mean, we've got these big things that we've all heard about. We've all been plagued with our whole life, sin and the flesh and the old man and the world, even Satan and the devil. And yet he said very clearly here that the most damaging thing is this matter of ordinances. When we read this verse a moment ago, verse 15, two things struck me. He abolished something in order to create something. You touched this in your introduction. It was really good a moment ago. But this revelation needs to really be prominent among God's people, doesn't it?
It does. Chris, I was really touched on what you said. You know, the reason why ordinances are the most damaging thing is because the Lord's desire is to have one body, and this one body is the one new man. Even in John 17, his final prayer before he left this earth was for the oneness of God's children. What divides God's children is ordinances, forms or ways of living and worship, cultural differences, racial differences. You know, we have the United Nations today, but actually they're not the United Nations. They're divided nations. And regretfully, we can perpetuate that in the church if we meet according to our racial preference, our cultural preference. This is not the one new man. But Chris, to me, one of the greatest miracles is when you come into a church meeting and you see all the different races there. You see black, you see white, you see Jews, you see Greeks.
Yes.
You see Texans, Californians. You see people from all races, from all walks of life, different cultures, and they're all one.
Yeah.
And they're loving the Lord and enjoying the Lord together and fellowshipping together. And this is the reality of Colossians 3, 10 through 11, which says that in the new man, as the church, there's no barbarian, there's no Scythian, there's no circumcision, there's no uncircumcision, there's no Greek, there's no Jew, but Christ is all and in all. Christ is everything. Actually, Christ is all the members of the new man, and he's in all the members. This is a miracle. This is what the Lord created on the cross. He created this miraculous man.
Right.
A new man.
Yeah.
A man that's never been seen before that can express him and represent him with his dominion. Chris, I tell you, we need to live in the reality of this new man. Otherwise, we're divided. We shouldn't allow anything of our background, culture, or nationality to be our source. Christ should be our only source. Our cultural differences shouldn't be our prestige. Christ is our prestige. Christ is everything. And so, to me, this is why this is so critical.
This is the masterpiece, isn't it, in verse 10. We had a message or two on this matter of the masterpiece, but it really gets developed. The portrait of it is really here, isn't it, in these verses, in both chapter 2, chapter 4, and in Colossians.
Yeah, I mean, what a statement in Ephesians 2:10, the masterpiece of God.
Yeah.
So while Christ was dying, he was creating his masterpiece. And when you have all the races, all the cultures filled with Christ, enjoying Christ, and Christ himself is their oneness, that is a real masterpiece. So, Chris, I've shared this with you before. When I was in Paris, I visited the Louvre.
Yes.
You know, and I'm not a very aesthetic person, but I just wanted to see Da Vinci's works, and I was mostly satisfied, you know, to see the Mona Lisa.
Uh-huh.
But I almost wanted to stand next to someone who was observing a great work of art and ask them if they've seen the masterpiece of God.
You know? Yeah, that's right.
But the masterpiece of God is the church as the new man. And like we said, while he was dying in his flesh, he was taking care of all the negative, crucifying all the negative things in the universe, including all the forms or ways of living and worship, cultural habits, cultural differences that divide mankind. He was crucifying that. Then in himself, as the sphere, as the element, as the essence, he was dispensing himself into man while he was dying and resurrecting to create a corporate body as the one new man, with himself as the very essence and element of that one new man.
Yeah.
That is the masterpiece of God.
Boy, Ed, I want it hanging on the walls in my room, and I want it being developed and spread into my being, don't you?
I do, Chris, and isn't it marvelous? I mean, you and I, we've been all over the world. I mean, you were in London recently, and wherever you go, it's so marvelous to see all the different races and cultures. But when you meet together, you don't see any race.
Yeah.
You don't see any culture. All you see
is Christ.
Is Christ. And when Christ is everything to the people of this world, what you have is the one new man for God's, the accomplishment of God's eternal purpose.
Ed, in this section, Witness Lee is going to connect the new man to the church, actually revealing this is the highest view or level of the church. And he'll refer to a verse in Ephesians 4, verse 24. It says, "And put on the new man, which was created according to God in righteousness and holiness of the reality." Here's Witness Lee.
Not only so, concerning the church, many of us have heard that the church is the gathering of the assembly of God's chosen people. Then some teachings telling us that the church is God's house, or God's household, or God's family. This is a little hair. Then to the third level, the church is the body of Christ. Then you go on to the highest level, a new man. A man. The church is a man. Now we just come to the top aspect regarding the church. Christian teachers have talked a lot about the assembly, about the family, about the body, and so forth, but nearly no one has ever touched this one thing, the one new man. In Ephesians 4:24, the new man refers to the church, which the confirmation by verse 15 in chapter 2. The new man here in 4:24 is the church, because this is the very new man mentioned in 2:15. 2:15, without nobody can argue that is a corporate new man, because create these two peoples, into one new man. This is not something individual. This is a collective thing, a corporate thing. Dear ones, we all have to realize, until the Lord could get this new man on this earth, he has no way to accomplish his purpose. We have to see, what is this one new man?
Well, Ed, of course, the lowest view is that the church is a building on the corner. In fact, it's not only low, it's totally inaccurate. And a lot of people today have a realization that the church is an assembly, a gathering of God's people. But even this is still at the bottom level, isn't it?
It is. When we come to Ephesians 2:15 and Ephesians 4:24, we have come to the highest aspect of the church, that the church is the one new man. The church is a corporate person. And Chris, the reason why we say this is the highest aspect of the church is because this fulfills God's original intention in creating man. And Genesis 1:26 is very clear on this, that God created man in his image, according to his likeness, and he said, let them, this collective man, have dominion,
right,
you know, over everything. So God wanted a corporate man in his image to be filled with him as everything for his expression. And then he wanted this man to represent him so that God in Christ as the Spirit could rule through this man over the entire universe. This is God's eternal purpose. But God didn't get this with his created man because his created man fell, even rebelled against man at Babel. And so man was divided and scattered. So what did God do? God became a man. And then he went to the cross, and on the cross he took away all the separating factors that divide man because of the fall. And then on the cross, while he was dying, he was creating something with his very essence, with his very person. He was creating the one new man. And now the church is the one new man, is the man in God's plan, with Christ as the head, and with the church as his body, to be filled with Christ, the unsearchable riches of Christ, to express Christ, and to reign in Christ and with Christ in life so that he can bring in his kingdom to this earth. This is the highest aspect of the church. This is wonderful.
This is really wonderful. As he mentioned there, a better view, a higher view is the matter of the body of Christ. The church is the body of Christ. The church is the family, the household of God. All these are moving progressively in the direction of this highest view, aren't they? The one new man.
They are, Chris. And like I said, you know, this man is a corporate man with Christ as the head and the church as the body. This man is a corporate man with Christ as the husband and the church as the wife. One man, one person. Eventually, this new man ultimately becomes the new Jerusalem, which is God's eternal goal.
Well, Ed, I'll just remind our listeners of Genesis 1. You referred to it, and that will be much the focus of our final section today, where again, let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and let them have dominion. Here's Witness Lee for our final portion.
To see this one new man, we need to see the old man. Why? Paul goes this way. Paul says, put off the old man and put on the new man. The matter of man is a great thing in the Bible. Don't forget, God never created two men or more than one man. God only created one man. That one man is something collective. It is not just an individual man. God had no intention to use many individuals. God's intention was and still is to use one man. And that old man, that collective man, we all know, was damaged. Now, there is the need to have a new man. In order to have this new man, Christ not only needed to deal with sins, to deal with the old nature of the old man, to deal with Satan, the devil, to deal with the world. The thing that frustrates God to come in to get the one new man is the ordinances. So the last thing that Christ crucified on the cross was the ordinance. For what purpose? It's not for forgiveness. It's not for victory over Satan. It's not for holiness. It's not for imparting life. This is altogether for the creating of the two in himself into one new man.
Well, Ed, his goal here is to create this new man. To see the church as the body of Christ and to see him as the new man, these seem like that they're very similar. What's the difference? Why is the new man higher?
Well, Chris, I'd like to point this out for our listeners, and this is very practical to me to end this way. You know, with the body of Christ, the emphasis is on having Christ as our life. Just like with our physical body, we have life in our physical body. But with a man, the emphasis is on the person. So with a new man, we have to be those who take Christ as our person. You know, I want to encourage our listeners every day when you get up in the morning, you know, when you have some time with the Lord in prayer and in the Word, say, Lord Jesus, I'd like to take you as my person today. You see, we have to let go of these ordinances are tied in with our cultural differences. We have to let go of our cultural differences, let go of our cultural pride,
right,
and take Christ as our prestige, Christ as our person. And Chris, this is very practical because, you know, when you take Christ as your person, it means you take him as the one making all the decisions in you. You know, the new man is mainly for our living. And 80 to 90% of our living is in making decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And in making decisions, we need to allow the Lord to be our person to make all the decisions in us.
Right.
So whatever we do, when we're deciding something, what school to go to, you know, anything that involves a decision, we should consult with the Lord. We should check with the Lord. We should take him as our person. We should say, Lord, how do you feel about this? What is your thinking about this? Consult with him. Seek his counsel in everything. This is very practical. Many times we do things and we're on automatic pilot. We don't check with the Lord. We don't seek his counsel.
Right.
We need to allow him to be the one in us making all the decisions in us, to be our center, to be our everything. Then he will become our oneness. And cultural differences, cultural pride, cultural prestige, with all the different ways of living and worship that go along with these cultural differences, will all be crossed out. And we'll have the real oneness that the Lord prayed for in John 17.
That's really a practical word, Ed. Our person is really expressed in the choices, the decisions we make, isn't it? And so to allow the person of Christ to be living in us means that he needs to be the decision maker.
Exactly. In every detail of our lives, Chris, from the smallest to the greatest thing, we need to allow him to be the one making the decisions in us. When we take him as our person in this way, then we are living in the reality of the new man.
I wish we had more time on this topic. I know we'll have more opportunities in the future before we're finished with Ephesians to come back to this very point, and I'll try to make a note to invite you back when we're on this matter of taking Christ as our person for the new man. This is a very, very key point. Thank you so much for your fellowship today. I know you're very busy these days, and we appreciate having you very much.
Yeah, Chris, thank you. And, you know, we just need to pray that the Lord would bring forth the one new man in reality on this earth so that he can return to set up his kingdom. This is what we're here for.
Absolutely. Thank you again, Brother Ed. Well, we're out of time. Let me quickly point out our toll-free number and invite you to call us. It's 1-888-LIFE-STUDY, 888-543-3788. That's all for today. Join us again tomorrow as we continue this life study from Ephesians. For Ed Marks, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you for listening.
In both the first and last book of the Bible, God presents himself to man as the tree of life. Throughout the Bible, God is portrayed as food for man to eat and life for man to enjoy. In the Tree of Life, Witness Lee presents a view of God's heart that is little understood and seldom experienced by Christians today, revealing that it is God's desire that we receive Christ, experience Christ, and enjoy Christ as our moment-by-moment supply. The Tree of Life from Living Stream Ministry is available at Christian bookstores everywhere.